0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the new Scottish League season approaches, squads are still being assembled. Daizen Maeda's off to Ipswich. Kasper Hawk could be close to coming in to Celtic. Rangers expect one more in the door in the next day or so, with the possibility of another before Friday's opener. And the League Cup group stage is complete, with Falkirk and St Johnstone the top flight casualties from the group stage. I'm Gordon Duncan and we are back until 8 o'clock. That's when you really know the Scottish League season is just around the corner, when Clyde One Super Scoreboard goes back to its normal slot and two big men, big names in the Scottish. That laugh, I don't even get the chance to introduce you. I was going to say big men in the Scottish game, massive figures that everybody's been crying out to hear for over the summer. Roger Hannah, Marvin Bartley, how are you both?
We're good, I think. Yeah, back to the 2 hour show. You know, the season's just round the corner, so we're going to set a few 6 to 8 ground rules for tonight. We can speak about Celtic signings, incomings and outgoings. We can speak about Rangers signings. We can speak about Hearts in the Champions League. We can speak about referees reffing the team that they used to play for. I am not, under any circumstances, spending my next 2 hours listening to you two talking about Stenhouse Muir versus Motherwell in the League Cup. Not happening.
The WhatsApps have been flying back and forward already. I have plans to emigrate if Stenhouse Muir win said game. I'll never speak to him again because he'll make my life a misery. But you are now, the last time we had you on in the 2 hour show, you were, Marvin Bartley, unemployed. And now you are
professional paddle
player. An amateur paddle player, I think you'll find. And now you are Marvin Bartley, Stenhouse Muir manager, through in the League Cup. How's it been so far?
Yeah, been brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Like you said, it kind of came about when I was actually on holiday having a few strawberry daiquiris. I got a message. And next thing, yeah, I was back and I was the manager. But no, it's been fantastic. Honestly, couldn't have asked for better people behind the scenes. Very lucky that Neil Hastings has came with me as well, and Ewan Blondin. So yeah, in terms of the staff, it's been excellent, and the boys have taken everything on board and then obviously gone out there and performed really well in the League Cup group stage as well.
It is almost over, the summer break. Of course this one was different. We had a World Cup to get our teeth stuck into. We've had European qualification already up and running. We've had the League Cup group stages. But this is the week that the league season kicks off, and no matter what happens in the summer, everyone is always desperate for the main event to start. So let's ramp up the build up. 0141 951 1025. I know lots of you have been calling and listening in over the summer. You get twice as long to do so now though that the season approaches. We are back from 6 until 8 o'clock every night throughout the season, taking you through all the madness that Scottish football pretty much guarantees. So give us a call. Roger Hannah, I think it was widely regarded that last season was one of the best or most dramatic or whatever label you want to put on it. It was outstanding one way or another, and you just wonder what this one's got in store for us.
It was absolutely bonkers from start to finish. Hearts taking a title fight to within 3 minutes of the end of the season. Your Motherwell boys under Jens Bertolasco, fantastic, correctly getting plaudits for the way they played football. Falkirk coming into the league and finishing in the top six. Loads of managerial changes, loads more managerial changes in the summer. And if we think we could have another season with Celtic having 4 managers and Rangers having 3, I'm not sure how many would sign up for that.
And all of this at the moment, Marvin, is always against the backdrop of the transfer window being opening. Now, you two, I've looked over at what you've got in front of you. You've got prediction sheets for the new season, and that's the beauty of it. We get to humiliate you because you're asked not only to predict the future, but without even knowing what the squads are going to look like come the end of the transfer window. So we've got all that going on as well, Roger. Some big news over the weekend. Big in the sense that Daizen Maeda's impact at Celtic, I'd love to get stuck into that over the next 2 hours as to how big a loss Celtic fans is. It maybe doesn't come as a surprise, but now it looks like Celtic might splash the cash on a, not a direct replacement as such, but another attacker. You've got Derek McInnes saying today that Rangers could do one within the next day or so, and maybe another before Friday. It just goes on and on, really. It's constant turning of the transfer speculation wheel.
Listen, of course it is. Rangers got a lot of credit for doing business early. In came Lauren Shankland, who even preceded Derek McInnes at Ibrox. Cammy Devlin's joined them now. They've got Ivar Pandur, Ross McCrory, big Big Ben Godfrey. They've got Vanya Dragojevic. They've got Dan Neal. There are more coming. Celtic, having been criticised right the way through this summer on these one-hour shows that we've been doing with Andrew McLean about inactivity, now look to be prioritising a bit of quality over quantity. Kamir Duran and Kasper Hoy have both come in having scored Champions League goals. If they can land Mika Bauer, if they can land Hassem Hassan as well, that would be good business by the Celtic recruitment team and would give the Celtic support a bit more confidence that they can retain this title.
Come on then, how are you all feeling? 0141 951 1025. It is entirely up to you. You can just go big picture, how you think this season is going to go, your thoughts, your hopes and dreams, your excitement levels ahead of the new campaign as we build up to it this weekend. Or you can get specific, look at the stuff that's in the news, as Roger Hanna says, Celtic with a very prominent outgoing, perhaps a prominent incoming as well. So Celtic fans, it feels like we've been able to dissect your transfer business every night for the last couple of months, and we can continue to do so. Get your thoughts in there. Rangers fans, what are you taking away from it? You witnessed the last set of pre-season preparations against West Ham, that goalless draw. You've seen things you like, things you don't like. How are you assessing your transfer business? The League Cup group stage, as we alluded to, Stenhouse Muir cannot possibly be allowed to beat Motherwell in the next round, or my return to Clyde One Super Scoreboard after the summer will be short-lived, let me tell you.
We need to get, he's itching, we need to give him a shot. You've said Kasper Hoch, I've said Kasper Hoy. Do you want to have a go?
No, I'll leave it to you.
I'll take your word for it. I've been lying low this summer, and just I knew that you'd be the man for the correct pronunciations when we came back. I just went for the lazy one. Hoy, you're going for Hoy.
I think it's Hoy.
Good on you, listen. I'm happy to follow you. Although you are an authority in most things, but you used to call him Christopher Adger, and that really annoyed me. So
back in the day, I did it once and I realised that annoyed you, so I just kept it going after that.
But
nobody
anyway,
else was annoyed.
Indulge me for one second, because I have missed you all as well. I know this is much more about Scottish football than it is about me, but this long break off always makes me miss you. Not you two, but the people listening, the people calling, always desperate to get back and pick up where we left off. It is an absolute guarantee that we get drama and madness in the Scottish football season that is about to kick off, because every single season it never ever disappoints. So let's get going. 0141 951 1025. Ross is going to kick things off tonight. How are you, Ross?
Hi guys, hope you're well.
What are you thinking tonight, Ross? How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm glad it's back to the domestic stuff. I just feel as if, like with Celtic, you know, it's like we've just turned the light off for the pre-season, then we've just turned it back on again. But I think, obviously, the new boy, Kasper, is it Hoy, I think he's called?
Yeah, according to Roger Hanna, we'll take it.
I'll go with Roger. Roger's an intelligent man.
I made that up, Ross.
But I think he's going to be a real asset, I think, in terms of the striking options. Unfortunately, gutted that we lost Dyson, but I think the boy for Bodo Glimt, I think he'll be an absolute asset for us, and I think he'll do a job. I think we're still short of numbers in terms of players coming in. It's a bit worrying that we're a week away before we play Dundee, and we've only kind of get one recognised signing at the minute. But listen, I think over the summer the Celtic fans have been quite vocal in terms of a disappointment. You can see that in the Middlesbrough game and the AC Milan game with attendances. But I just think hopefully this is the start of it, that we are starting to sign players, and I trust that we will. And you listen to Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill says that he trusts the board, and he trusts it to get signings in. So you've just got to trust the process, I suppose, and hopefully we don't make the same mistake twice.
Despite what we all pretend at this time of the season, Roger, there are no guarantees at any level of the transfer window. But you can understand why the Celtic fans, like Ross, are looking at the boy from Bodo Glimt, as he called him, looking at the price tag, looking at the profile, looking at the CV, and allowing themselves to get excited, and maybe wondering if that's the start of what's been viewed as a really negative set of transfer dealings turning in a more positive direction.
Listen, it doesn't matter whether you support Celtic or Motherwell or Stenhouse Muir. If your club is breaking the transfer record for the football club, you're going to be excited about the footballer that's coming in. For me, I don't know whether Ross would agree, there's kind of parallels between this summer and the Ange pre-season, the first Ange pre-season. He came in, there was a bit of scepticism pre-season wise. I remember West Ham coming to Celtic Park. I think they won 6-2 or something like that. And there was a lot of worries about the Celtic fans. There was a lot of deals done late on. There was outgoings deals done. Remember Ryan Christie went late on to Bournemouth. Watson Edward went late on to Crystal Palace. And there was guys came in late on. I think there's going to be a lot of activity between now and the 3rd of September at Celtic. There will be outgoings. It would not at all surprise me if Arnie Engels, Rio Hatate, Alistair Johnson all followed Dyson Mide out the door.
And all of them?
It would not surprise me at all.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow. And the key then is to make sure that, you know, Micah Bauer comes in to replace Engels. Maybe Julian Araujo comes back to replace Alistair Johnson. They get somebody else in to replace Rio Hatate in the middle of the park. I think there's a lot of work being done by Mark Cooper and that Celtic recruitment team. I think there'll be an awful lot of activity in the last 5 weeks of the window.
Genuinely, the sort of losing track of how many windows it is, Marvin, where the striking positions has been an issue. So if Celtic are to go and do this and complete it, as people expect, he's in the country or south of the border getting the medical, I think we saw yesterday, £11 million. What do you make of that?
Yeah, listen, it means they mean business. In terms of a football club, I think the thing that will frustrate, you know, Celtic supporters is that at the moment, as Roger's saying there, they're replacing players rather than adding to the squad. I think that was something that the fans wanted. They wanted a stronger squad. They wanted, obviously, a stronger start in 11. But it's a fantastic start for them to go out there and spend £11 million. It shows that they're willing to back the manager if the right player becomes available, and they are looking for the right quality. But if they are to lose the players that Roger's speaking about there, I think if you just do like for like in terms of, you know, three out, three in, I don't think the Celtic fans are going to be happy. That squad needs to be stronger. Yeah. I think they got away lightly in terms of winning the league last season. I think they got, you know, obviously doing it as late as they did do it. But that whole squad, Celtic squad, needs to be stronger to fight in Europe and, you know, ultimately to win the title a lot more comfortably than they did last season.
Ross, it came about at the same time. And it's almost, you know, it's a similar fee. The money brought in for Dyson Maeda, the fee that looks like it's about to be paid to Bodo Glimt. Talk to me about the impact Dyson Maeda's had and how big a hole he leaves ultimately when he you know, departs.
Oh, massive. You've seen it for last season. I think Dyson alone kind of carried us to that title, but the fact that you're letting a guy go out, and I still think we should try and push to be a bit more than 10 million. I know he's on a year's contract left, a year left, and I know it's hard to argue that, but for me, you're letting a guy go that essentially scores with 20 plus goals a season, and his work rate is unbelievable. Like, in all my times going to Celtic Park, I kind of remember a guy that I've sat and watched, even in like the 89th minute, he tracks back and chases balls. And for me, to get another Dyson Maeda in this day and age, you're probably going to need to break the bank again, I think, and get somebody in the region of £15-20 million that we're not going to spend. But I just think Dyson's contribution to the club was unbelievable. And if we could have kept him along with signing Casper Hoy, that would have been brilliant. But listen, it's one of the things, Gordon, I think we just need to move on for it now. He's away down to Ipswich, and good luck to him, and I think he will do really well down there. But I just hope Celtic can kick on now, and we have got these Champions League qualifiers coming up, and that's my concern, that at this point last season we left ourselves short and struggled against Kaira Omati, and I just don't want us to do that again. And that's my concern by no signing players. Are we trying to just kind of get by these qualifiers, get the £40 million in the bank, then we'll start spending it? Or as what Marvin just said, are the board just want to sign players? One goes out, one comes in, one goes out, one comes in. Is that the way we're going to operate? We're not going to go above that.
I know it was Saturday, but, you know, I feel like this is us kind of picking up some of the stories from the weekend. Roger, there was an air of inevitability about Dyson Maeda leaving. It probably should have happened previously. That's why the fee is what it is, and Ross alludes to that. Celtic have lost a lot of big, good players in recent seasons. They've sold them for a lot of money. Where does Dyson Maeda rank in terms of how hard he will be to replace?
Yeah, but it'll be difficult to replace. Listen, he was always going to go this summer. Martin Hill put the kettle on for it in the eve of the Scottish Cup final when he said the Hampden game against Inferno would be his last for the club. No one can grudge Dyson Maeda's move. He's made it clear he wanted to go to England. And Celtic very, very seldom allow players to run their contracts down and walk for nothing. They were always going to try and get something back for Dyson this summer. I think it's actually a deal that works for everybody, because Celtic get £10 million, Ipswich get a very good player, and Dyson at 28 gets to fulfil his dream move to England at the proper age. He's been a fantastic servant. I think 79 goals in 212 or 220 games or something like that for Celtic. Big goals as well. Goals against Rangers. Goals that, as Ross said, 9 in the last 7 games to effectively win the double at the end of last season. And I listened to Ange Postecoglou when he was covering one of the Japan games at the World Cup, and he called him a freak. And he called him that in a sort of fatherly, fond way. Yes, he's a freak. You're not going to get anybody else like him. And Celtic won't get anybody else like him, so there's no point trying to find somebody else like him. He's been terrific for Celtic.
You know, how hard is it, Marvin? Because I suppose there's a nuanced argument here. I'm not asking you, is Daizen Maeda Celtic's best player of the last 10 years? Because I don't think Celtic fans would say that. But what about most important or hardest to replace? Is that slightly different when you look at how key he was to what Celtic did?
Yeah, I think he's the most difficult player to replace in recent times. And Roger's obviously speaking about the goals he has scored there, but what he does off the ball for Celtic, I think you'll now see a massive, massive difference in the way they go and press teams. You've heard teams speak about it in Europe when he's, you know, pressed the defender and gone to the goalkeeper and he's pressed the goalkeeper. The amount of turnover Celtic get because he puts you under pressure as one man is unbelievable. Forget about the goals he scored. I know a lot of people saying, oh, his finishing hasn't been the best at times. I get it. There's been better finishes in terms of what you're saying there, Gordon. But I think in terms of replacing him, I think Ross spoke about 15 or 20 million. I don't think that even gets you somebody who can do what he does. I don't think there's anyone in world football at this moment in time that you talk about how hard they work at the top end that can do what he does that, you know, Celtic would be able to afford. So in terms of, like Roger said there, I think you've had to go a completely different way. You can't replace definitely what he does off the ball.
Okay, thank you, Ross. Celtic fans, what do you make of what you've heard so far? Is any of that resonating with you one way or the other? Do give us a call. What about the Rangers side of things? Pre-season preparations continuing against West Ham yesterday, a goalless draw. Of course, the transfer window again, very much in the forefront of the mind. So let's bring in Gary, who's in Falkirk. How are you, Gary?
I'm okay.
Good. Just okay then, right. Talk to me. What makes you just okay?
Right. Yesterday's game, right. I was on Friday and I said to me, it feels like Groundhog Day for us. Right. With me being a Rangers man, it just never seems to get any better. I mean, we've went out against, and I'm not taking any of this rubbish where it's only a pre-season game or anything like that. Right. The players, it still seems like we can't attack, right? We're not able to push pressure on teams or anything like that. I mean, it was a 0-0 draw, right? Even though it was a friendly, it doesn't matter. And I didn't get the feeling that it was an attacking team for us.
But you see, right? Does it matter though?
I think it does.
How much? How much does friendlies matter?
Friendlies matter because it gives us an idea of how the team's going to perform during the season, the league season. It doesn't matter. People could turn around and say that friendlies doesn't matter. And in the long run, it does matter because you need to scope on different situations such as our attacking, our defending and stuff like that. And it's to give us that look on how we're going to look for the upcoming season. Right, if for anybody to turn around and say that friendlies doesn't matter, it does matter. We need to get an idea of how we're going to perform during the league season. And I've always stated that the most important parts during the season is when it comes to the friendlies, because it gives the fitness a look and stuff like that. I can say that players are going to have time for the gel and stuff like that, but players are still going to have to put a marker down, or they'll not get picked for during the league season.
You can set your watch for this every year, Roger, and it's just, it's personal preference. I'm not criticising Gary. Some people give friendlies a lot of weight, some people give them none at all. There's then a scale where people go in the middle. Is Gary right to be concerned by Rangers' friendly performances?
I love that Gary's phoned on Friday to say it's Groundhog Day and then phoned on Monday to say it's Groundhog Day. We're on from 6 to 8 tomorrow, Gary. Listen, I covered Rangers West Ham friendly in Michael Beale's pre-season. I think Rangers won 3-1. Robbie Matondo and Tom Lawrence both scored and looked like world beaters, and that didn't end well. So there is only so much you can read into it. I think Rangers fans will feel either more confident or more distressed by 10 o'clock on Friday night once they've seen their team in competitive action at Tannadice. That's an awkward start for Rangers. Derek McInnes already made it clear he needs two or three or four more. He wants a centre-back, he wants another left-back, he wants at least one winger.
I think it's one more within the next day or so. Yeah. Which of those departments do you think that will apply to?
Guessing centre-back.
You got a name for us?
No. I suspect centre-back, they might be closest, but I'm not really 100% sure in that, Gordon. I know the point Gary's making, and Derek McInnes would agree with him. The one thing, you look at that Rangers squad and you just wonder about the creation of chances. Shanklin has shown he'd take chances. Chermite, in the second half of last season, showed he would take chances. I think he got 15 in his first season. Many of those chances were created by Mikey Moore, by James Tavernier, by people like that in previous seasons, by Vaclav Cherny, people like that. Who is going to create? You know, Rangers have seen a lot of, and the image of Marvin Bartley, great number sixes, you know, Dan Neal,
steady,
Vanya Dragojevic, Cammy Devlin, they're all guys who operate in there. They're not guys who are going to give you 12 or 15 assists a season. So that is going to be key to Rangers, the creation of chances, and they'll probably need another winger in to make fans like Gary feel a little bit more comfortable.
Do you just say to your Steny players, listen, friendlies don't matter, go and do what you like?
If you win, it's absolutely fine, they do matter. But no, listen, I'm definitely of the opinion that friendlies don't matter. I think it's very, very difficult for supporters. Sometimes you go and watch the game, for example, but the Rangers players might have had a super heavy week, because sometimes as managers you look for totally different things in the friendlies. You're looking for fitness, you know, as a caller just spoke about there as well. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I really, really wouldn't. I think they'll be absolutely fine once the league starts. He's playing with two strikers, he's playing with wingers, and as Roger said there, in terms of the centre midfielders that they've signed, I think those two would just be in there to hold the fort together. I do think they'll attack with four minimum players. So yeah, in terms of friendlies, I wouldn't worry too much about them.
Thank you, Gary. 01419511025. Just quickly, if you're looking for an extra football fix, you just can't get enough. I don't know if you've seen friendly action still ongoing. Newcastle and Everton are going to meet at Murrayfield on the 12th of August. Kids might still be off and all that sort of stuff. We're going to give you the chance to win tickets a bit later on, and even a child mascot appearance as well. So stay tuned for that. But more of your calls on the build up to the new Scottish League season when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here, and not only are they here, they're here until 8 o'clock. That is when you know that the Scottish League season is fast approaching. You are well looked after over the summer. Clyde One Super Scoreboard doesn't go anywhere. It keeps you right up to speed across the World Cup and the transfer window and the European qualifiers. But there's always something a bit special when we get longer to pore over all the talking points in Scottish football, and there are always loads. So let's do it between now and 8 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. I didn't even really ask you if you guys had a good summer. I got thrown by Marvin's revelation that he was drinking strawberry daiquiris. Please drink responsibly. That's the first one of was those. He got offered the Steny job.
Was that the holiday before you came back and did the pavilion night with us?
Yeah.
That was the day you came back in.
There you go.
But do you know
pure
what?
Dedication.
Do you know what's funny though? Because
away in America.
I've now realised, I got it the other way around. I thought the people at Steny had been drinking when they offered you the job.
They probably had.
I didn't realise it was you, right?
Something stronger than the daiquiri.
It does. It makes sense. But a good summer all round.
Really good.
Or you just pitched straight back into it? Did you get any time?
Yeah, I got the 7-day holiday and I was enjoying it until probably day five, and I got that message, and then all of a sudden kind of your mind flips. But no, it was good. And then obviously the missus was away for six weeks.
Think carefully about what your next sentence is here.
She's busy now, it's half six, which was fantastic. And I enjoyed my time at home chilling out.
What's wrong with this guy? It's an open goal to just don't say anything that you're going to regret.
You have to be honest.
That will get back.
Life's about honesty.
Do you know what? Might open up a whole new world for us, Roger Hanna, with no disrespect to the Stenhousemuir fan base. I don't know if we've ever had many Stenhousemuir fans calling the show, but now they've got a direct hotline to tell this guy where he's going wrong.
And listen, inevitably in this show, it comes down to Mickey taking. But if you look at the Premier Sports Club group tables,
he's
finished above Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle and Livingston, once managed by Marvin Bartley. So it was the only group with three championship teams.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people will fancy Livi and Partick, along with Dunfermline, to be up at the top end of that championship table. So if your boys can go in there and play them both, not lose to either, get the wins in those penalty shootouts, top the group, you deserve a big money draw in the next round. And unfortunately, if your mother will.
Alec was very aggressive in that game, by the way.
That's not like him.
A couple of times, like, the balls obviously came into our dugout and, you know, I'm getting older, so it takes me a longer time to get back to my players. And he's kind of turned around and growled and then, like, smiled, because it's like, I think he remembers, I'm not a bad guy.
And speaking of, saying things that you might regret, how was the return to Livingston, and how did you feel about beating them on penalties? Do you see any former work colleagues or anything like that when you returned?
Yeah, I saw a lot of the good guys. Obviously, the ones that I worked with day to day when I was a player assistant, and then the manager. So like Andy, the physio, and Cheb, and all those sorts of people, and the people on the sidelines. I didn't see anyone kind of higher up, but I got a nice message from the chairman after the game, which was good, because I've not spoken to him since leaving a football club, and he just congratulated me.
Through the course of the season, on a Monday night, we normally do our awards.
Indeed, yes.
Result of the weekend. Obviously, can't do that so early in the campaign. If there was a performance of the weekend, what about your goalie, Darren Jimison?
He saves
a penalty during the game.
Roy Keane.
And three in the shootout. He's gone up the road having saved four penalty kicks. Did that not beat Cammy Bell's record?
The penalty save in the game was unbelievable, by the way. And it shouldn't have been a penalty. But listen, referees are in pre-season as well, so
who
it's
did,
fine.
Was the ref a former Livi player? No.
No, I didn't have it. Lloyd Wilson, who we had.
Where did you holiday? Because you tend to holiday once a month throughout the season.
Are you kidding me
on? It feels like.
Are you kidding me on?
Wow.
I've been sitting here. Your missus has been away. Folk think I'm married to Andrew McLean. We've been sat here all summer doing these shows.
But that's what I mean, because you holiday every other month of the year.
No,
I haven't. So do you stay here when it's more expensive to go on holiday?
I haven't been away. Mrs. Hannah's been working extremely hard. So we've been...
Booking.com?
No, we've been stuck to...
Right. So still to come?
Still to come. We've been home. It's been enjoyable. Listen, it's a summer of the World Cup. Scotland going to the World Cup. I need to say you were the only guy in the flight who's come back with your reputation intact. And that Scotland trip. But it was fantastic covering the World Cup from a far greater distance than you did when you were up close and personal with them. It was great. And you know yourself, I mean, the Premier Sports Cup was back while the World Cup quickly, was still going on. So for newspaper men like myself, there's been very little chance to have a break.
Just quickly, speaking of the World Cup, you look very well in your pictures, by the way. Those T-shirts, you need to keep them.
They were a bit snug.
Oh, they look good though.
They were a wee bit snug.
The arms, I was like, nah, Gordon's been in the gym.
But it's one of them, like, see when you realise how down the pecking order you are of the 70 people on that trip. See the thought of chapping the kit man's door and saying, any chance I can get some different T-shirts?
Especially when your initials on it, it's a problem.
Exactly.
I'm glad you've brought this up, because I don't mind. Gordon Duncan is, I think we're agreed, one of Scotland's leading broadcast journalists. So when the SFA handpick a man to go in front their operation,
right, where's this
there,
going? Cut to the chase.
You expect them to be interviewing Andy Robertson. You expect them to be interviewing John McGinn, Scott McTominay, Lawrence Shankland. I have to say, I nearly fell off my chair when I saw him interviewing Gordon Ramsay and posing for pictures that day. I mean, I thought the two of you looked like long lost buddies.
I know, this is the thing. I feel slightly stitched up by that whole experience. I don't think Chef Ramsay will be listening. I think this is a safe space, right? Genuinely, I am obviously aware of his work in the A-list celebrity that he is, but I've never really watched it or seen it or anything. And I wouldn't consider myself a fan, and I think that's nothing against the man or his food. I've never really watched it or whatever. But what I'll say is, some members of the Scottish FA's media and communications department, some who you may know, were big fans, and they seem to be really keen on this picture. And of course, I'm the dafty that's standing next to him with arm round. It gets plastered everywhere, and you are right, I felt embarrassed looking at it. It did look like I was proper starstruck, when actually I wasn't that bothered.
The two
but
Gordons.
Who's going to believe that?
Gordon meets Gordon, like the two Ronnies. Back in the day.
Barry's on the line. Save me, Barry. On you go.
I was just listening into your conversation about Gordon Ramsay there.
we've deviated away from football very early on in the new season, I must say. So bring us back on track. What are you thinking?
Obviously, Celtic are close to finalising the deal for the Kasper Schürrle. Or I would say Kasper Schug. So.
Oh, I'd love that to stick.
But yeah, I get the deal's just about to be announced. But on that note, I think there's other areas that need to be looked at as well. It's not, we shouldn't be doing this one player out, one player in. So yeah,
because we'll never know. Well, yeah, we won't ever know because they keep a lot close to their chest, Roger. But I never know if that's a deliberate strategy. But you can, if it isn't, and the people at Celtic are disagreeing with that, then you can forgive fans for thinking that the timing was unbelievable at the weekend. Where, and like I mentioned earlier, it's almost the same fee as well. Again, that might be completely coincidental. Maybe you're only ever getting the 10 million for Maeda. Casper Shug, as maybe it's called by the caller, is a similar fee, but it was at the exact same time almost on Saturday afternoon. So it looks like that sort of one in, one out sort of thing to fans, and you can understand why.
Yeah, listen, of course it does. They've been slow out the blocks again this summer, Celtic. We've spoken about it with in the show with Andrew all summer. The inactivity, it frustrates supporters, it annoys supporters. Celtic fans see Rangers and Hearts and other teams signing lots of players and they've been inactive at a time when they've lost a lot of players. You know, you remember all those loan players that they had in the second half of last season, Chivanchara, Adamu, Mvuka, Arthur, all of these guys have all gone. The new Maeda was going as well. They've lost Iheanacho, they've lost Sarachi, so there was a lot of exits without any incoming players. The incoming players have started. Duran is in the building and looks a good player. Scored in both those Parkhead friendlies so far, Gordon. Casper Hoy will be a good player, I'm pretty sure, if he can replicate the form that he showed for Bodo Glimt in Champions League and Europa League. He'll be a good signing as well. But as well as quality, I think they do need to get numbers in the door, because if you look to the bench in those couple of friendlies, I think Martin O'Neill will want the comfort of having more bodies round about him as the season goes on.
Is there... There's always two ways to look at it, Marvin. You've got that numbers game that Roger mentions, and then you've got trying to improve upon and be better and bring in more quality than what you had. Are Celtic in many ways still trying to catch up, you know, from previous transfer windows? If we're talking about 11 million in a striker, somebody at some point between now and 8 o'clock will raise the fact that this goes all the way back to Kyogo. This is not really about Iheanacho, but in the numbers game at the moment it is.
Yeah, exactly that. I think they are playing catch up, Gordon, for sure. But I did expect, you know, when the transfer window opened, or kind of, you know, post World Cup, that I thought Celtic would have moved a lot quicker and had more bodies in the building by now. I think they've seen before when they don't move quick enough what can happen in the Champions League qualifiers, which is, you know, something they don't want to repeat. But I just feel I'm the same. I just think they're really, really short. As Roger said there, and you look towards the bench, there isn't that quality there. Like you said, Iheanacho's gone now, but, you know, they've lost Kyogo a long time before and never really replaced him. Maeda went through the middle. He's now gone also. So I do think they need to, you know, kind of press on with some signings. I think it would be a worry for Celtic fans, as I said earlier on in the show, if it is going to be one in, one out, because they need more than that. But they do also need players to come in and, you know, improve that starting 11, which they've done with the signing so far.
I just wonder how you feel as a Celtic fan about Daizen Maeda. You probably knew he was going to go, but how big a hole does he leave given what he's contributed, particularly at the end of last season, Barry, and then overall to what he, you know, the way he sets the tone for the team?
I was talking to the producer, and I said to the producer that I was actually at his debut against Hibs, and then I was at his last game against Dunfermline. So, I mean, his work rate, obviously, like last season, he had a wee bit of a stale kind of bit, but he kind of upped the ante a wee bit right at the end of the season, so he did. So, and you could see the expression and the emotion on his face, how much it meant to him to just put in that performances and get the goals as well. So, yeah.
I mean, it's not even that much of a stretch to say he dragged Celtic over the line to win the title, Roger. The numbers back that up.
Yeah.
Then you've got that other bit, as we said as well, about how you tactically set up without him. Even if he's not scoring, it becomes a different challenge. Last January, or this January, sorry, it looked like it was definitely time, but then when you see the impact towards the end of the season, that's maybe the bit that's going to be fresher in the memory.
Yeah, I mean, you can back there to that debut on that midweek night against Hibs, January 2022. He scored a couple of goals and showed what he would bring to Celtic, but that was only the briefest of glimpses, because you think of the season he was Footballer of the Year, 33 goals that season for a guy who, I think we're all agreed, isn't really an out-and-out centre-forward. And then it just clicked. When Martin O'Neill went back to the tried and trusted in those last seven games of the season, all the lone players get shunted out onto the bench, and he went with the guys he knew he could trust. And Maeda came to the fore. I think it was 9 goals in 7 games. People will remember the overhead kick in the Old Firm game at Celtic Park. People remember the goal when it was eventually given that more or less won the league, the one that put them 2-1 up against Hearts with 3 minutes to go. They'll remember the goal in the cup final against Neil Lennon, Firmland, and people will remember Dyson Maida's contribution for a long, long time to come.
0141 951 1025. It doesn't matter how many weeks you take off this show, that number is just etched and you're never to be forgotten. It rolls off the tongue. Dial it right now and we'll try our best to get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of the new season. At this time of the summer, it always used to be just that, just your pre-season thoughts. How do you think the league will go? But we've got all sorts going on. The transfer window, obviously, European qualifiers are underway. I was at Fir Park on Thursday night. After 30 days working away over the summer, though, I thought better than to suggest that I go to the away leg in the Faroes, just domestically, internally in the Duncan household. I thought that was probably not the wisest.
Yeah.
But the home leg was good. Hibs fans, maybe your first away leg didn't go so well. We've got the League Cup group stage. What did you make of the draw? Any Steny and Motherwell fans want to join me and Marvin on there? I'm sure there are other ties that jump out as well. Oh, Ayrshire derby for you, Roger Hanna. Are you happy with that?
Yes, I am happy with that. Although, if you're an A United fan or a Ross County fan, you would wonder. Ayr have won their group 4 straight wins. Ross County have won their group ahead of Dundee, 2 flights above them. They're seeded and they get away ties against teams in higher leagues. How does that work? Where's the reward for being seeded and doing well in the groups?
I've seen a lot of people speak about that actually, and it's how you get to a position where should those teams, seeded teams, be at home? Because you're right, they've not really won anything, have they, by winning their group and being absolutely fantastic whilst doing so.
Let's bring in John on the line. Hi, John.
How's it going, Ayr?
How's it going, John? All right?
Hello?
Ah, John, sorry to interrupt you. You're on. Let's go.
Hi there, Gordon, Roger and Marvin.
Hey, John.
Hi, mate.
Well, obviously, we've got two journalists in the studio, and we've got an ex-player, and he's a manager. Is he Stenhouse Muir, manager now?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Marvin.
Cheers, mate. They're better than Charlie Mulgrew, then.
I heard about this.
Charlie, no, Celtic Hearts, no?
No, but nah. Yesterday, Stenhouse Muir were described as being Gary Naismith's team yesterday.
That's what I heard. I turned it off by that point.
I'm happy with that. Anything that sticks the boot into you, I'm happy about. What are you thinking about your team, John, as we move towards a new season?
Anyway, listen, so Gordon, you cover a lot of topics, and obviously Roger for the papers and things like that, and he's looking at all aspects in the game. So I'll tell you the name of the new player that's come in.
Go for it.
It's called Casper Hoge.
Hoge. Okay.
Not Hoge. Casper Hoge. H-O-G-H.
I like it.
So you take the H away, so it's Casper Hoge.
I'm going for Hoy.
So that's the name. So I've been wanting that boy for 2 years. And I'm going to tell you now, I've heard a couple of wee things from England. And Marvin, you've been a player. And news guys, papers, and journalists. I heard a wee rumour that Jack Grealish might be coming on. I don't know if you've heard that, but
Callum McGregor's pal, John.
It's his pal, mate. They played with him with Port. Was it Port Vale?
Notts County.
Yeah, I would have got that right. I got it right, but I was just my age and my health. But aye, Grealish would be an inspiration in that Celtic team. I'm on loan, years loan, sorry. But I heard another wee one, Roger. Greg's a good old boy, Greg Taylor.
Yeah.
Laura and his beautiful baby are back home. And I heard there's a potential years loan deal there as well. And then you've got, obviously, the handsome Hassan, the Egyptian boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he reminds me, Marvin, as a young Victor Wanyama when he played in a different position. But I've not heard much, Marvin, of the guy, Bauer, from Paderborn. He must be a good player because I think they're trying to hike the price up. And it looks a no-no. But anyway, that's what I want to put across to you, boys.
Four names, Roger. Rank them in order of how likely they are to join Celtic.
I would go Bauer first.
Not Taylor?
I would go Bauer first.
Okay.
I would go Hassan second.
All right.
I would go Taylor third. Who was on?
Jack Grealish.
Oh, of course. Taylor third. And I would go me fourth. I would say Jack Grealish is a £100 million player who earns more than your pal Gordon Ramsay. So I never say never, but I would think it would be unlikely.
Chef Ramsay to you, but no, definitely not. Can't convince you.
No, can't convince you.
Can't convince you to consider Greg Taylor higher on the list than third?
Not higher on the list than third. I think there is a distinct possibility. Greg was in the show. Greg did the show with Andrew McLean and I during the summer when he was back home. He has...
Left his new Celtic contract in the printer.
Yeah, listen, he's had a great lifestyle in Greece with his wife and baby. A lovely home, lovely place to stay, a good club. But as with many footballers, the only problem is he didn't play as much as he would have liked. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to come back to Celtic because he might not play as much as he likes, because the problem that forced him out the door, that big problem with the number 63 in his back, is still there. So Greg would need to take a decision as to whether he was willing to fulfil Marcelo Saracchi's role as backup to Kieran Tierney next season. He may well be, because, you know, the reports in Greece today suggested that he's still going to be a backup at Pauk next season. So, and you better have been a backup at Celtic, closer at home, with another family, etc., or you'd better have been a backup at Pauk. So I think it's a deal that could be done, but I think Celtic are closer with both Bauer and Hassan.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for Roger Hanna killing off your Jack Grealish dream. But feel free to keep the calls coming in. And oh, listen, I'll let you take centre stage because it's your newspaper that's running with the story about Ranger. Oh, is this news to you? Am I breaking this news to you about your newspaper?
No, you're not.
So why are you putting the specs on and going for the phone?
That means he's serious.
If I was struggling to pronounce Casper Hoy,
just spell it out.
Roger, why do you think I've asked you to give us the big reveal? Rangers are closing in on?
Rangers are closing in on a centre-half called Olweto Makanya, who is a South African international who plays with Philadelphia Union in the MLS. They have... Listen, he's been on a list for a period of time. Robert Greaver, our chief football writer, has broken the story tonight. I think as soon as Diawara moved to AC Milan, and I believe he's in Milan tonight for a medical examination, I think the next on the list was the South African defender. Didn't play as much as he would have liked at the World Cup, but he's one they've been monitoring for a period of time. Derek McInnes feels he's probably still a centre-back short. Fernandez is there. Ben Godfrey's there. Clinton Insiala is still in the building, but I'm not too sure John Souter's going to be in the building too much longer. There's, you know, talk of Sheffield United, among others, looking at him. So I think this is one they're keen to get done. Makanya, I think he'll be in ahead of, you know, a right winger or a left back or whatever else Derek's still got to do.
Rangers fans, what do you make of that breaking news this evening? And whilst you gather your thoughts, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've missed this. It did not matter. Miami, New York, Boston, this is what I missed the most. Beat the Pundit time. We're in the presence of greatness as well. The Beat the Pundit champion from last season. And it wasn't Roger Hanna, it was Marvin Bartley. Who would have thought it?
Can I tell you as well? You thought it was bad last summer. What a summer. What a close season I've had, Marv.
Really?
I mean, you know I was stitched up at the Pavilion. I was
about to say, it wasn't so great at the last show.
I've lost twice since then. The bottle's crashed. Everything's gone.
Well, love to hear.
Everything's gone.
I heard you were both hopeless over the summer, but the guy said earlier, friendlies, you know.
Show wasn't a friendly. That was World Cup
just
final.
Just finding your feet. But you were the champion of last season. Let's kick off the new season. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the Headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna is here alongside Marvin Bartley, and if you're looking at the clock thinking I'm not used to this over the summer, that's because the new season is almost upon us, and that means Clyde One Super Scoreboard is back in its normal 6 until 8pm slot. So keep the calls coming, please. 0141 951 1025. Over the weekend, Aizen Maeda left Celtic for Ipswich. It looks like Celtic might break their transfer record to get another forward in. Rangers are closing in on a new centre-back, as Roger Hanna told us just before the news. We've got the League Cup group stage finished and the next round draw being completed. European qualifiers round the corner. It is all happening. So anything else that you think we've missed, give us a call, please, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I don't know how I feel about the form of these two. Roger Hanna for so long was the dominant force in Beat the Pundit. We tried to bring him down a peg or two. Genuinely, I can't even remember last season. Were you minus
one?
Is he telling me the truth?
No, I thought you were minus two.
No, that was two seasons.
And then we brought him back to minus one. And do you remain on minus one for the new season? Have you negotiated your contract with the powers that be?
There's still a couple of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. Right.
Should the reigning champion of Beat the Pundit be moved to minus one?
I've dragged through a lot of those games.
I've got my own Beat the Pundit issues with.
But forget about your own personal beef.
No.
Should the reigning Beat the Pundit champion go into the new season on minus one?
I think the end of this season, that should be a rule. It should definitely... put in, but at this moment in time I would say no, because a lot of those games were far too tight for me to be on minus anything.
I know you're just trying to boost your chances of winning more, but despite being the champion, I agree, I don't think you're good enough to be minus
City.
One, and I don't know how you went unbeaten last season.
Anything could happen right now this
I'll agree
season.
With that, yeah. There you go.
So let's see if I can
I'm
continue
I'm not giving
it.
You the credit of being moved to minus one.
Listen,
I'm concerned,
I'm the reigning champion. That's all that matters. Okay. What will be now.
Let's see if we can kick off the new campaign with a listener victory. We've got Aaron from Irvine. How's it going, Aaron?
Good. All good.
You ever played before?
No, first time.
Right, who's your team?
Kilmarnock.
Oh, good. We'll get to that in just a minute or two. But let's play Beat the Pundit first. Marvin Bartley is the reigning champion. Is Roger Hanna still considered a tougher task out there, though?
No.
What do you think, Aaron? Yeah. Who's the tougher task?
Yeah, definitely. See? Roger Hanna.
What do you mean, definitely, Aaron? I'm the reigning champ, mate.
All right, fine, go on minus one then.
No. Yeah, Aaron, you're right, mate. I agree with you, buddy.
The blue side of the coin will be Marvin Bartley, the red side of the coin. Absolute miracle this coin didn't go walkies over the summer.
Why are you shaking it?
Just to like sort of mix it up, because I always get accused of having an unorthodox tossing technique.
Previous.
Which makes it predictable, the outcome. But let's see how
we go. Don't drop it.
Drop it, I'm an expert. Yes. It is red for Roger. Let's go, Roger Hanna. Good luck, up against Aaron. Are you ready, Aaron?
I read it.
Good. 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. And your time starts now. Who did Rangers play in the opening day of last season?
Pass.
Who were last season's League Cup runners-up?
Celtic.
What is the most common kit manufacturer in the Scottish Premiership?
Adidas.
Before Wouter Vranken, who was Hart's last non-British manager?
Pass.
Nicky Clark's player manager of which team?
Queen of South.
Which former Scotland boss also managed Cowdenbeath, Leicester and Raith Rovers?
Pass.
Okay, can you hear us, Roger Hanna? Why were you taking a picture of Marvin Bartley during Beat the Pundit? You're not a social media.
He was swaying about to ABBA as if he was back in the Strawberry Daiquiris in the Elgar.
Where are you going to upload that to? You're not an Instagrammer, so is that just for your personal private collection?
I'm just keeping that back in case he has any more Beat the Pundit beef with me, and I'll release
it. What did you say there?
He has a private bank where he holds things.
Bank?
Yeah.
I thought we were about to get taken off air on our first show back. Bank. Aaron has just completed his go.
We heard you.
You heard the full set?
No, right at the end, we heard you.
All right,
but we
okay,
heard
then.
You, but we didn't hear, bizarrely, we didn't hear Aaron.
That's fine. It's okay. Don't you worry. Are you ready? Same set of questions. Minus four for you, Roger. Yeah. And your time starts now. Who did Rangers play on the opening day of last season?
Kilmarnock.
Who are last season's League Cup runners-up?
Celtic.
What is the most common kit manufacturer in the Scottish Premiership?
Macron.
Before Wouter Vanken, who was Hearts' last non-British manager?
Daniel Stendel.
Nicky Clark is the player-manager of which team? South. Which former Scotland boss also managed Cowdenbeath, Leicester
Craig
and
Levine.
Raith Rovers? Name either side who played in last season's Scottish Premiership playoff final.
Partick Thistle.
Aaron, you've heard the opposition. Have you done enough?
No, I don't think so, no.
Let's go through and find out. Who did Rangers play on the opening day of last season?
I'm even thinking Motherwell. Of course they did.
It was
Russell. I was trying to think in my head who the Rangers manager was. I was thinking there's that many.
Russell Martin up against his old teammate Jens Bertolascu, and it set the tone for Rangers.
It did.
And
it 1-1
carried on.
Manny Longello,
and he slaughtered the players. Yeah. And remember it. Feels like 5 years
it
ago.
It does
that.
Actually, Gordon. You know.
There we go. None of you got it. It was Motherwell. Last season's League Cup runners-up were Celtic. Beaten by
St Mirren.
Of course. Which means you both got it, and Aaron is in front because Roger Hanna starts on -1. However, what you?
I've no idea about this next question.
It's Macron.
You're kidding me.
That is it's an unbelievable shout from you. The most common kit manufacturer in the Premiership. I did not have you as a kit manufacturer expert in amongst your many strengths. St Mirren, Motherwell and Dundee are all Macron. Hummel, I've got a couple. Adidas, a couple. Joma, a couple. Umbro. We've even got a. We've not got a Reebok.
Reebok, yeah. Hibs
this year. Hibs in.
That's not the best question I'll get this season. Best question I'll get this season was last week, Gordon.
Which was?
Can you name the K-pop act who were part of the halftime show in the World Cup final?
Did you get it?
Yeah, BTS, obviously.
Do you know what? You'd have been the only guy watching who I bet was. Because you were your NFL obsession. I bet you were a fan of the halftime show.
No.
I bet that's the type of thing that gets you going in the Hanna household.
No.
No? Not even the. Ronaldo and
who are you doing
now? I was driving. Sorry, that's how I drive.
No,
you were shaming me for my picture with Gordon Ramsay, which was it? Which was not requested by me.
Mm-hmm.
The only picture I requested at the World Cup was with R9. Yeah, does that pass the threshold?
Yeah,
for acceptability.
I'll give you that.
Because you know what it's like. You do this job, and every now and then you see people, and you think you don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to be seen to be getting photos all the time, and you're working. But there's just a bracket that once you go in, it feels justified. And
nice guy,
the seal of approval. Do you know what he was? I mean, I wouldn't say we like were struck up a friendship, but he seemed like a really nice guy.
Have you watched the documentary about the 2002 Brazil team?
Not yet.
Go and watch it because he comes across brilliantly well.
Can I tell you what made me think that? And obviously. You think, how much can you take away from someone in the can I have a picture? He did loads of pictures. So there was loads in front of me, and that's what gave me the courage, if you like, to think, right, this is not too shameful. But I'm sure there was even another member of the staff, right, asked him for a picture, and he even said, shoot, like, no problem. And he said, sort of come over here where the lighting's better. And he was like orchestrating the picture in amongst doing about 50 of them. Took the time. He seemed like a really nice guy, actually. So there you go.
You got him to join in your five-a-side game.
Listen, there's...
You're game for a game of paddle, man.
Definitely.
But he's a legend, isn't he? That's, is that acceptable?
100%.
Good. Right, okay, we got distracted there.
Rogers losing 3-1, if you forgot the score.
No.
Rogers equalised.
Equalised.
Before Wouter Vanken, who was Hearts' last non-British manager, Daniel Stendel, Roger got it and goes 1 in front. You both knew Nicky Clark is the player-manager of which team, Queen of the South.
Difficult gig, that.
They've had some really bad managers in recent seasons, so it's good to see Queen of the South finally...
On the up.
Getting a young up-and-coming manager in Nicky Clark. The former Scotland boss, who's also managed Cowdenbeath, Leicester and Raith, is Craig Levein. So I'm afraid Roger Hanna's looking comfortable now. And name either side who played in last season's playoff final, St Mirren or Partick Thistle. Even I feel bad, Aaron, because we didn't get to the last question. I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself slightly. It can't change the outcome. Which Premiership midfielder has signed for his club for the fifth time this summer?
Aaron Tishbowler.
Is that a record? Did anyone like establish?
It has to be.
I think must come be close. I'll tell you something, it's a good signing. Really, when I saw Kelly in the second half of last season, Tishbowler was back in. They were a transformed team. He's a driving force in the midfield. He's a very underrated player.
I don't think I can even remember anyone signing for a fourth time. I can
five
just about times. Do a third. Obviously with my Claret
Five
sided
on fees, by the way. He's a clever boy.
Would we get McFadden do sort of three spells at Motherwell? There must be a few in a month. But five?
Five is ridiculous.
Quite outrageous.
many times was Kenny Miller at Rangers? Three?
Yeah, three as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing seems, that seems familiar, not five.
No.
But anyway, it wasn't enough to change the outcome, Aaron. Roger Hannah does get his first Beat the Pundit victory of the new season. So hard lines on that. But talk to me about Kelly. Let's start with that League Cup draw last night in Ayrshire Derby. How are you feeling?
Nah, it's good. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we beat them. So
I'm interested that Aaron looks forward to it, because I always think when there's a natural, I've gone and quoted Craig Levein here, who was one of the answers, a natural order of things in terms of, see when you get the Derby, Roger, and one's generally in a higher division than the other, I always wonder if the so-called higher team, it carries a bit of dread, because you've got the, you know, you've got it all to lose, well, sort of thing.
It certainly should, because the last time we went in the cup, Andy Geoghegan exactly. scored the winner for Ayr. There's a gentleman who'll be doing this show tomorrow night, a Mr. GDL.
Never heard of him.
Who claims he never lost to Killy. I think that's he's been, right
he's,
in the cups.
He's been on to me.
He lost to everybody else, but he didn't lose to Killy.
He's been on to me looking for 10 slim fit GD Scotland t-shirts from over the summer, because he's the only other guy that I could pass them on to. I could give him anything else.
Mm. What a guy.
What do you think?
Has he got a holiday coming up at all when he's looking he's for t-shirts? Away. Has he?
Actually, yeah, I've got no idea. What? As part of my getting my head ready for the new season, yeah. I tried to cut ties with them all over the summer.
I can understand that.
Do you know the last thing I need at the summer when I'm away at the World Cup is worrying about his drama?
Yeah.
Worrying about what he's up to and where he is. That is the last thing I need. So it's nothing personal. I love him dearly and I'm really looking forward to seeing him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Genuinely. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, you've got to just respect the boundaries, I think.
I agree with you.
Over the summer. Same goes for our esteemed colleague, Mr. Keevans. I know he'll be listening, and I am very much looking forward to catching up with him soon. So hope Shug's doing well out there. But Aaron, you're looking forward to the Derby. What about just generally? Neil McCann had such an impact, didn't he, last season when he came in. Can he carry that on into a full campaign?
Yeah, fingers crossed, hopefully. When he came in, he pretty much saved us from relegation. So top six set a push, hopefully this season.
This isn't going to stick in my craw or anything. Saying this to you, I think they might finish top six. There you are.
Go on then.
I just think
put it on the table. Predictions.
I like the lad Joe Hugel. I like Tyrese John-Jones. As I said to you, I think Tishbola is a really good signing. I think Strajek being fit for the season will help them at the other end. And I just think that there's a kind of upward mobility about them under Neil McCann and Billy Dodds. And it wouldn't surprise me. I think the big fight, I think in no particular order, Celtic, Hearts, Rangers, Hibs, Aberdeen.
No, hold on a minute.
An order.
Hold on a wee second.
I'm just going to order.
Hold on a wee
season.
Second. Have you forgotten how this show works?
I'll give you my predictions when I'm ready to. I think Killy will be top six.
There I you think are. You'll find you'll give me the predictions when I request them. Roger, you've forgotten how this show works over the summer.
Same thing.
You want to go and. I was going to give you until Saturday, but now you've annoyed me.
No, come on. I need to. A couple of days just to get my head round things. So I'll give you them Saturday.
So you think because you're on earliest in the week, you're somehow disadvantaged in your predictions?
I'm minus one in terms of predictions.
Right, I'll give you some time. I don't know about you. I'll decide before the end of the show. Right, Aaron, thank you very much for giving it a go. Aaron had the chance to make history, be the first Beat the Pundit winner of the new season. It wasn't to be. Roger Hannah wins and on we go. Don't let this streak last too long though, please. Listeners, I don't want it one of them, you know, we're 12 days in, we're 3 weeks in, and we've not had any victors. Let's get on and embarrass these pundits before long.
Just looking at Sky, breaking news. John Stones agrees to move to Inter Milan. You've just missed out, Marv.
Yeah, just we're in the talks, but just couldn't afford it.
Even if it fit your style of play, anyway,
he was trying to buy the club, and I gave him a call. He's like, "You want me to buy you lot? Wait to play, buddy."
Brendan is on the line. How are you, Brendan?
I'm okay, boys. Good evening. How are you?
Good, Brendan. And do you know what, Brendan? I said it earlier on and I meant it. I've missed the fact that there's a sort of... People always say, what's the best part about Super Scoreboard? 10 years I've done this show and it's the sort of unpredictability of it. But sometimes you just know what's coming. And when I saw Brendan St Mirren pop up on my screen, Brendan, I just had a funny feeling. So don't disappoint me. Take it away and tell me your thoughts on the referee yesterday.
Well, I'm not about to disappoint you at all, boys. Because personally, I'm still a wee bit angry about it. I cannot believe what the SFA are playing at. How, in the name of God, can they have a guy refereeing a game when he used to play for the team years ago as a goalkeeper? Now, the reason why I'm saying that is, I want to take you back to the middle of, not last season, the season before. And I was standing outside my house, washing my car. And a gentleman ran by my house jogging. And that gentleman was Nick Walsh. Now, what I would like to say here is, I don't know if I'm going to get blown up in flames or whatever, but I stopped him. And I says to him, I says, you wouldn't be refereeing your game. This was a Saturday. I says, you wouldn't be refereeing the game tomorrow with us at Rangers at the Smyzer Stadium, would you? He said, aye. I says, well, that shouldn't happen. And I'll tell you for why. The guy was standing with a shell suit top on, and had the Rangers badge on.
That is, Brendan, do you know what? That's not true, Brendan. And I know it's a dangerous road for me to go down, calling the callers liars. You're telling me Nick Walsh was out running in public with a Rangers tracksuit top on?
I'm telling you right now that I was washing my car, and that guy ran the pavement right inside my car.
Nope. I'm sorry, and that's the thing, Brendan. You and I are pals, and I don't like to call my pals liars. That didn't happen. It didn't.
You see it? My missus came out, and I went, look at this.
Oh, great. Now I'm going to need to call Mrs. Brendan a liar as well. Nick Walsh was not out running in public in this mad part of the world wearing a Rangers tracksuit top, Brendan. He just wasn't.
Well, we will agree to almost certainly disagree.
Good.
But I know what my eyes seen. And if I could have done it, that guy, I would have pulled the guy into my car.
Right, just let's be pretty careful here. Let's just be careful we're not overstepping the mark, shall we say? I'm sure Nick Walsh would refute the suggestion. I'm back, Roger Hannah. Miami's feeling that a long time ago. Let me tell you,
Nick, 0141 951 1025. I know you listen. Give us a wee buzz.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll be desperate to. At the core of this, though,
at the core of this is the decision making yesterday. Listen,
Brendan haven't followed Brendan's point.
Well,
provide context.
St Mirren versus Dunfermline yesterday in the Premier Sports Cup last group stage. The referee called Sean Murdoch, who back in the day was a goalkeeper for Hamilton and Hibernian and Dunfermline, among other clubs.
Dunfermline, right?
He disallowed a St Mirren goal for a foul on the Dunfermline goalie, Aston Oxborough. Controversially, I didn't think it was a foul. I thought the goal should have stood, but it wasn't the most heinous of crimes by an official. He then gave Dunfermline a penalty in the last minute, which was a stonewall penalty. And Dunfermline won the game 1-0, and St Mirren, the holders, didn't get through as one of the seeded teams, and they drew Rangers away in the next round. And Craig McLeish, St Mirren manager, came on to TV after the game and was asked about the decision and said, well, who did he used to be a goalkeeper for? If he is not done by the compliance officer in the next few days for implying incompetence or bias, particularly in the light of Elliot Watt, your good friends at Motherwell FC and Derek McInnes all being done for similar incidents, I'll be astonished.
Do you not think he's... Oh, we're now veering into a different discussion, but do you not think he might just about have managed to pick his words carefully enough?
No. And the first people to...
When you get to like an actual disciplinary process, might he be able to go, I was just asking?
He's just asking the question, yeah.
Just asking the question.
I don't think you can get pulled up for that, if I'm honest. I don't.
I'd be flummoxed.
Anyway, right, that is a separate matter. Again, at the core of this, Sean Murdoch's the ref. Now, he used to play for Dunfermline. Is that right? Is it wrong?
How many
think?
People do we hear through the years saying, you know the problem with referees? We need more guys who used to be players to come and become referees. So Sean Murdoch's done it. So you then have a decision to make. Do you allow Sean Murdoch to progress his career and, you know, perhaps ultimately referee a Scottish Cup final, referee the big Premiership games, you know, referee UEFA sanctioned fixtures, or do you say to him, listen, Sean, we can give you some games, but we can't give you Hibs games or Dunfermline games or Hamilton games because you used to play with them and it might cause trouble. Does that mean no one who ever plays for Celtic and Rangers can ever become a referee?
They probably couldn't, let's be honest. What do you make of it, Marvin? Because see, at the most basic level, if you say a former Dunfermline player was allowed to referee a Dunfermline game yesterday, now that, I think, just naturally sounds alarm bells for football fans everywhere who would just go, I don't know, it's a bit weird, it doesn't sit right. But then, as Roger says, when you apply a little bit of context, what do we do then? So for everybody who says, and there's a campaign for this, and a lot of people are on board with it, let's get former players into refereeing. Mm-hmm. How difficult is that then to implement? Because do you know what you're actually saying? If we take it to a more extreme example, maybe with other clubs, Sean Murdoch actually came on, didn't he, and refed a Falkirk game. Remember last season?
Yeah.
He came to Celtic. But if you're saying, okay, Sean Murdoch, you used to play for Dunfermline, so you can't referee any Dunfermline games. Do you know what? Can you referee Raith Rovers or Falkirk either? Because they're your rivals and you're bound to want to do them in. You used to play for Hibs, so you can't referee Hibs games. We can't let you referee Hearts games either then. And then on and on that goes. Mm-hmm. Take our, since we're on the subject to goalkeepers, our esteemed colleague, Mr. Cammy Bell, who played for everybody. So would that be, and I'm genuinely asking, yeah, would that be the rule? Where is the line? Because Cammy couldn't ref Dundee United because he played for them, so you can't referee Dundee either. He couldn't referee Rangers because he played for them. He certainly couldn't referee Celtic then.
Hibs, Hearts.
You know, and on you go. How do we find that line between, great, let's get former players involved, they should have a knowledge and it might help refereeing standards, versus, oh, what, it can only be guys that played for one club. You know, a lot of Scottish lower league footballers have played for like 10 clubs, 12 clubs, and how do we police it?
Firstly, I think Sean was put in an awkward situation, a very, very difficult situation in terms of having to referee that game, having played there. Personally, for me, I wouldn't be comfortable if I was managing a Stenhouse Muir game and the referee used to play for the opposition. That's just me as an individual. I don't think, if I was also a referee, I'd want to be put in the middle for a Hibs game, sure, or a Livingston game, because regardless of what you do, Sean's mistakes were genuine mistakes if people see them that way. There was no way that he was leaning one way or another. I know him, that wouldn't have ever happened. I just think when you have played for the team and you do give them a penalty, for example, or did disallow a goal, for me that should have stood, then all of a sudden people are going to start pointing fingers. I don't think he should have been put in that situation. I get what you're saying, i.e. a Cammy Bell couldn't referee
anybody,
a host of teams, but it doesn't sit right with me. And the fact that we wouldn't do it in Scottish football, if you'd play for Celtic or Rangers, you wouldn't referee a game between the two. It should be that rule throughout, because all teams in Scottish football should be viewed exactly the same.
And that's the thing, Roger, when I ask the question, it's not, I'm not disagreeing with that sentiment. I think that's how most football fans will feel in their gut, but more just sort of, how do you police it then? Where do you draw the line? How do you go forward with that?
Yeah. When's the first Willie show?
I don't know is the
first
answer
what?
To that.
The Willie show, that's what Willie call him.
Oh, let's say, can I come on this show?
Absolutely not. 0141951.
Listen, Tiffany, if you're going to encourage former players, and I know the point you make with Rangers and Celtic, and I agree with you, I think if you're encouraging former players to become referees, you can't put limits on what games.
But then you would have to, wouldn't you?
But a player would, I don't think a player would want to be put in that situation. I genuinely don't. Sitting here as a former player, I get it that I can't referee Hibs games. I wouldn't want to be put in that situation, Roger, if I'm totally honest with you, because regardless of what I do, you can't do right for doing wrong. It's just not a good situation to be in.
I mean, Jamie McCunney's once of Dundee United's going through as a ref, Grant Anderson once of Hamilton, and Raith and Stenhouse Muir and various other guys coming through to be referees. What do we say to these guys? You can referee A, B and C, but you can't referee D, E and F. It's difficult. Interesting to hear Willie Collins' views on it.
0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. Speak to you next.
Clyde One.
Make me a winner time. Let me bring you right up to speed on where we are with that. You won't be surprised to hear that it's on a separate sheet, the producer tells me. These are the wee things you forget during the summer holidays. Anyway, Sharon was stunned when Kate called to say she'd won the 400 grand. We've now reset the lines, half a million up for grabs. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. Over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition there. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Just answer your phone. Half a million pounds would be yours. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley's here and Roger Hannah. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so please do give us a call. Let me give you this question before we go any further.
The full-time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, good question. This, it was inspired by Zach in Kilwinning, who sent it in. I've tweaked it ever so slightly, but it's a good question, Zach, so let me ask the guys. Can you name the last four Scotsmen to score Celtic's first league goal of a season? That's quite a tricky one to kick you off. Can you name the last four Scotsmen, Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley, to score Celtic's opening league goal of a season? We've only got four.
James Forrest?
Surprisingly, no.
Luke McKevin.
When did he do it? Last season, of course. Against St Mirren, a 1-0 win. I'll take another guess from you, Marvin.
Lee Griffiths?
No. Okay, perfect. Let's leave it there. Thank you to Zach. Thanks to our sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow as well. You can join in, send us a tweet. Let's see if you get them quicker than these two. I think you will, because they're not great at this type of question. Roger Hanna's good at most of them, so eventually he'll dig it out. But can you name the last four Scotsmen to score Celtic's opening league goal of a season? Luke McCowan looking for another three. Tommy's on the line. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good. How about you?
Brilliant. Hey, we're Tommy. All good, Tommy. We're looking forward to it all happening. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, big Rangers supporter, and I'm on here to plead the case for Celtic players and Celtic supporters. I think it's absolutely diabolical that they're unfurling the flag on a Monday night. Who runs this? Is it SFA or the SPL? Who's running this show?
There's a boring reason for it this year, Roger, is there not?
There is a boring reason for it. It's because the Commonwealth Games are in town and they couldn't have a game. The police couldn't have the Commonwealth Games activity at the Emirates opposite Celtic Park and a game at Celtic Park at the same time. It's in terms of, you know, police personnel, numbers, traffic management, things like that. So the Commonwealth Games was booked in for the Emirates. I think there's athletics both Saturday and Sunday schemed for the Emirates Stadium, and that meant the Celtic either had to play at home on the Monday night or have an away fixture first and then have the flag unveiling, you know, the second weekend of the season. And I'm not sure what are the talks, you know, whether it was serious they could play at home in the second week. It was decided to play the Monday night instead.
Yeah, I mean, to sort of officially answer Tommy's question further, you're looking at a joint effort there. SPFL schedule the fixtures, so not the Scottish FA, but that will be done in conjunction with the police and all that sort of stuff, as you say.
And your other employers at Sky.
And it's the Commonwealth Games. Makes sense, Tommy?
Could they not play Friday night, swapped with Rangers? I mean, it's usually the first game of the season.
I don't know whether I think the athletics start tonight. I think there's athletics every night between now and Sunday all the way through, I think, Tommy.
Well, I just think it's madness, you know what I mean? A Monday night for the league winners.
No, listen, I agree with you. It's not really the spectacle you've come to expect over the last few years. Normally, you know, a Saturday lunchtime or a Sunday afternoon.
It's an understandable reason, though, is it not?
Yeah, and if you go back a minute, I think if you go back to 2014 when the Commonwealth Games were in Glasgow last, there were a few contingencies made then. You know, Hampden was...
The Scottish Cup final was played at Celtic Park.
It was, yes, and Johnson beat the United because they were getting the stadium, Hampden, ready for that Commonwealth
Games. Scotland played who at Ibrox?
In 2014, that's a good question. Who did? One Marv.
No? You're making me doubt myself because you never get things wrong.
No, I just can't remember.
No? Georgia, October 2014.
No, I don't remember that.
Don't remember it? The 1-0 win wasn't particularly memorable. The Athletics is at Scotstoun, so that's not where the Athletics is.
What is it? Is it the Emirates?
Cycling or something?
That's exactly what it is. I knew it was something.
But anyway, Tommy, what about your own team then? You've tried to fight the case for Celtic to get their fixture moved. I don't think we can arrange it. What about your own team?
Reasonably pleased. It's hard to tell on the friends. I mean, yesterday was really friendly, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of laughing and joking going on, and it's hard to tell. But pleased with the guy Devlin. I think he looks a good boy. And some of the players from last year look as if they're coming on to a better game now. I think they've got a better understanding with Derek McInnes. You know what he's looking for and what he'll knock it up with.
So you're not like you're not like the previous caller who said the performances in the friendlies are rubbish and friendlies are... I think he actually said they're one of the most important things of the season. You're not quite as negative. You've got plenty of reason for optimism.
No, sometimes I think they play maybe too many friendlies. because you don't like get anybody injured in their play. When yesterday's was, I thought, was really friendly. It was hardly a tackle went in, you know.
Tommy, what did you think of Dan Neil yesterday?
I'm not overly armoured with him yet. It's, maybe it's too early to say. It's, well, probably it is too early to say. But, I mean, it will come, hopefully, with Derek's guidance, if they will click together. No, I think he's made some astute signings, and I think he's got rid of some players that we should have got rid of a long time ago.
Why'd you ask? Why is that the name for
I
you?
I thought he looked good.
Yeah,
Watching the game, I did think he looked really good. You know, I thought he looked kind of back to the player he was before. Obviously, like you said, it's pre-season. I thought some of his touches and stuff were really, really sharp. I thought he drove forward with the ball as well. I thought him and Cammy Devlin kind of dovetailed each other extremely well. And if they are to play a 4-4-2, it's kind of a graveyard shift for those two centre midfielders. But they're two boys you can definitely get around the pitch. I just think, you know, Dan Neil's got that little bit more quality when it comes to being on the ball. So yeah, I was actually impressed with him yesterday, but Tommy wasn't. So maybe he's right and I'm wrong.
I didn't think he played badly. I just think we're obviously not going to see the best of him.
Yeah.
Will he be the next Rangers captain, though?
Will he be?
Should he be? Will he be?
Not for me.
Who are you going for?
Fernandez.
Oh, right, okay. Not that at this stage, no opinions.
Fernandez.
Yeah.
I think you'll get more out of making him the captain.
What I was going to say, though, Roger, he's not one that's really done it as such for any period, has he?
No, I don't think so. No. So, there was a few, Dujon Sterling yesterday, yeah. I think, the likes of Shanklin, Daniel Godfrey.
Yeah.
As well, like that.
Still not being confirmed.
No,
I know that Daniel did some stuff on Sky today and was asked about it and gave that great line about, even, you know, no matter who it is, we should have a team full of captains and all that sort of thing. Who do you think?
I genuinely don't know.
Okay, two things then. We're predicting who you think it will be. Who would you pick?
Oh my goodness. Given that he's done the job for Derek before, I don't think it necessarily needs to be a Scot. Might help it being a Scot. I may sway towards Shankland.
Is he a guaranteed starter?
That, listen, there's your argument against that.
I'm not saying he's not. I just don't know enough about what
sure
shape Rangers will play.
A guaranteed starter.
Because some people might say, yeah, he is, absolutely.
The alternative view is that Derek's passed it around a few of them because his captain's not in the building yet. And I don't mean a signing. Could Nico Raskin come back and be asked to take the team?
Yeah, I would go between Godfrey and Neil, if I'm honest. I'm not really too keen on centre-forwards being captains, if I'm totally honest with you. Like I said, Lauren Shanklin has done it before. You've got Raskin to come back into the building, although I do think he'll be sold. I really, really do. Godfrey's done it before and been captain, and so's Dan Neil. Sometimes I think it's, in a strange way, someone who doesn't really understand the pressures that could bring, you're better off giving it to one of those, you know, a Scotsman who's been in and around it and understand just the pressures that kind of come along with it.
Dragojevic, captain of Partizan Belgrade from the age of 20 as well. Another, you know,
that would
guy
be great something, though, wouldn't it?
It would. But listen, I think it's wide open.
Okay, thank you very much to Tommy on the line. Before we go any further, let me run this past you because we're giving you a chance. Just some people at this stage of the season looking for stuff to do with the kids, desperate for a football fix. Newcastle and Everton have come north of the border. They're going to meet at Murrayfield on the 12th of August. Tickets are available, Clyde1.com. And you can also win a child mascot appearance for your young ones as well. But tonight, going to give you the chance to win a pair of tickets to head along. Game kicks off 5:15 as well. Quite a nice time to head along. All you have to do is connect one of the teams in the friendly to one of the teams here. So can you tell us who joined Celtic from Newcastle in July 2012? Who joined Celtic from Newcastle July 2012? Entrant needs to be over 18. You can take someone younger with you, though. T's and C's at Clyde1.com. Call us now before the end of this break on 01419511025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Marvin Bartley and Roger Hannah. For a bit of fun, we're going to give you some tickets, the chance to win tickets to Newcastle Everton. It's just a pre-season friendly at Murrayfield, but 12th of August, nice early kickoff, chance to go along, see something a bit different, and on the line to play. The phone lines are now closed, by the way, so thank you for all of you for taking part. I can see the phone lines still lighting up, but the phone lines are now closed. But we do have Rory, who's on from Ardrossan. How's it going, Rory?
Not bad, mate.
Good to hear from you. All you have to do, it's quite simple, is just tell us who joined Celtic from Newcastle in July 2012.
Fraser Foster.
It was Fraser Foster. So well done to Rory. He's going to Murrayfield to see Newcastle Everton. It is that simple. You could also win a child mascot experience out there if you're listening. That would be a nice one for the holidays. Go to Clyde1.com. More on tomorrow's show. So well done to Rory. Simple as that. Happy with that, Rory?
Perfect, thanks very much.
Good man, there we go. That was Rory from Ardrossan. How are you two faring on this teaser? We are looking for the last four Scotsmen to score Celtic's opening league goal of a season. So, league season. You've got Luke McCowan from last year. You guessed Lee Griffiths, that was wrong. You guessed James Forrest, it was wrong.
What about Ryan Christie?
No, I actually can feel like I can remember the game or something that you are referencing, but nope.
Callum McGregor?
No. Would you believe again?
Chris Commons?
No.
Kieran Tierney?
No.
We're getting down them now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 7-0 against St Johnson, wasn't it? Is that one of the games?
I'll put you out your misery, because what do we always say on this show? The rules for these are football nationality. That was Mikey Johnson, represents Republic of Ireland. Okay. So it's still another four.
I was gonna guess that as well.
How far back are we going, Gordon?
You're not actually going that far back. You're not going that
what
far
about
back.
Stuart Armstrong?
No. This is much harder than I thought it was going to be, because I thought you're only needing four. And you've already got, you got Luke McCowan straight out the traps from last season. Can I just say quickly, another thanks to Zach and Kilwinning for sending this in. But this is night one of a long season. I used to count them up. I can't remember anymore. But we do over 200 of these shows, midweek shows in a season. So we need a lot of full-time teasers. So get your thinking caps on. You can be the star of the show in the full-time teaser, like Zach and Kilwinning tonight. Full-time at Clyde1.com. Send us an email. No? Okay. We can get back
did
to
did he
me.
Get a mention earlier, Greg Taylor?
No. This is remararkable, because Celtic won't have had that many Scotsmen over that period.
Clearly more than us.
I know, clearly.
GMS. Yeah.
Hopeless.
We're just running out of ink over here.
The three you're looking for came in three successive seasons.
Three consecutive seasons. What we're talking? We're talking...
Not that long ago.
Brendan?
Yeah, one of them.
Brendan Lenny.
You two are hopeless at this. Brilliant. Oh, would you look at this. Honestly, I've just glanced down at the phone. We'll probably get time for one more caller. Look what you've done to this show. James in Linlithgow. He's a Stenhouse Muir fan. James.
What's happening, James?
What's happening, mate?
You alright?
Listen to him now, James. He's won a few games through the League Cup. Let's give it a few weeks, James, when things start going peaked up. Let's see if he turns up.
What do you mean, you know, James?
Let's see if he turns up first and foremost, and let's see if he's willing to take your call in a few weeks, James, when you're on to criticise his team selection. Anyway, all rosy so far, is it?
Aye, perfect. Perfect start.
What have you made of it so far?
Good. I think beating two big teams, especially obviously getting promoted last season and beating Partick Thistle, who have been keeping Putin quite high up in the championship, and I'm lucky not to have got last season to beat them and beat Livingston, is quite good.
It's a good point. You know what, now that I think about it, James, he's a failure if he doesn't finish in the playoffs, isn't he?
Nah, that is good, but
good man, James.
Come on, you've set the bar to pack track now.
Yeah, I'm in big trouble, aren't I?
Seriously, enjoying it?
Yeah, nah, definitely enjoying it. I think the main thing that people probably ask me about is a part-time element. But yeah, listen, the boys have been really, really good. Obviously, there's a kind of a different dynamics to it with them coming from work on a Tuesday and Thursday, but they're so hard working, very similar to the group we had kind of at Livingston in terms of people just want to get better and they take everything on board. So yeah, listen, the League Cup stuff's been obviously brilliant. And then we start with Raith Rovers, old Dougie Imrie, on Saturday as well.
You once beat him on Beat the Pundit on this show. So,
yeah, I never let him live that down either.
You got high hopes, so James, this must be an unbelievable... Up until the appointment of Marvin, this must have been an unbelievable time to be a Stenhouse Muir fan.
I know, it's been good. Yeah. It's been good. Been pretty unlucky, I'd say, but hopefully this is the start of something good.
I mean, the you know, the promotions in quite quick succession and so on. Is it, what is that challenge though, Marvin? We know you're positive, and I'm not criticising that at all. Part-time team in that division.
Yeah,
it's maybe not. You know, we've seen Scottish football went through a really odd spell where we had some massive clubs in that division, and there are still big clubs, but you know, there was a period where it was, you know, ridiculous that the size of some of the clubs in it. Is the aim just about you know, what is the aim? Does everybody aim for the playoffs in that division, or is it not quite that simple?
Listen, everyone would love to be in a playoffs, like you said, and finish as high as you possibly can. I think when you look at the financial gulf, even between us and the other part-time team, which is Arbroath, it's massive.
Is it? Right.
And then you go to the full-time teams as well. So, yeah, listen, you want to be as competitive as you can in every single game. And ultimately, if we're to remain in the league, you know, for next season, that would be a massive, massive plus. And that's what we kind of expect. Like you said to me, I'm super positive and expectations are really, really high. But that's kind of our first benchmark to make sure that we remain in the league for the following season.
Motherwell in the League Cup. James, what are you thinking?
2-1, Stenhouse, we are.
There you go, James.
You'll not see me for weeks if that happens.
They're going to clip that, James. You better win now, mate.
You will not see me for weeks. Or in fact, you won't see him for weeks. Who am I kidding? I get to come back. It's you that doesn't. Honestly, because I'm so torn. Because I just don't know what to expect. I'd love Jens Ball to have got hold of you. That's for sure. All this Stenhouse Muir positivity, with that smile would have been wiped off your face.
Didn't want to meet Jens. Definitely
but
not.
Everybody's either gone or injured at the moment, and we don't quite know how it's going to shape up for Motherwell. So
yeah, that's
the
thing.
A good tie for you, home tie and all that stuff?
Yeah, definitely having a home tie, I think, was one of the main things that we wanted if you weren't going to be kind of, you know, away to one of the big two Glasgow teams. So yeah, having a home game against Motherwell, as you said, with a few players that haven't left and they're trying to gel a new squad together. Listen, obviously going to be the massive, massive favourites, but, you know, it gives us a chance. And some of the younger players, we've got a lot of young boys in the squad as well, so it's really good for them to go up against the Motherwell team as well.
Met in the League Cup group stage last season at Oakleview, and I went along, and it was genuinely probably the wettest July day I've ever seen. I could not believe the rain, and there was not enough room for the Motherwell fans to stand under that stand behind the goal. It was ridiculous. And something that I don't mind doing, I think we should all be big enough to own up when we call it wrong. I remember watching a rain-soaked, what looked like 7-stone Elijah Just, the shirt was hanging off him, it was pouring, he was in the Astro at Stenny, and I thought, this guy will not do. A few months later, Motherwell's record ever signing, 3 goals at the World Cup, my heart is broken that he's departed. So we can all call it wrong early on, Roger Hannah.
Of course, and listen, as you were saying at the caller earlier on, Gary, you just don't know what pre-season's going to throw up. You thought he was a dud. You sold him for £5 million after 3 goals in the World Cup.
There you go. Anyway, right, quick round off the teaser. You two are struggling. The last 4 Scotsmen to score opening league goals of the season for Celtic: McCowan, that's what we've got so far.
Stephen Welsh.
Yes, against Aberdeen in 2022. Who did it 2023? So that would be Brendan Rodgers' first season back, is that right?
Yeah.
And it was a 4-2 win against Ross County.
Oh, God. You know something, I did the game for Super Scoreboard.
Tricky one this, because I remember that and then everyone said, oh, is he now going to become Celtic's main man again? He started, I think he kept Rio Hatate out of the team, same again next week, but very quickly, and he now
David Turnbull
and 2021 lost against Hearts. How have you forgotten that one, Ange Postecoglou?
Well, who scored that night? No,
Ralston,
yeah, one of the inverted fullbacks.
Oh.
Anthony Ralston. Thank
I'll
you Roger.
Right, Roger,
thank you Marvin. Those two played in fact a non-existent part, but you made me absolutely delighted to be back. So I'm very excited to see what the season holds, and we're back from 6 until 8 tomorrow. Have a good one.